Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I think that puts my Madden awareness rating somewhere in the 90s. But before we get to any more quarterback awareness ratings, before we get to any more news about NBA free agency, which gets set to start in an hour, Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Dun, dun, dun.
We're back, baby. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake, back in the saddle here together at the same damn time. What's going on, Janae?
Let's go. Hi, everybody. I've missed you. What's up? It's been far too long, and I feel really bad for everyone. You know, because I really came in here like a wrecking ball. Our last commercial break was pretty hectic, but we're here. I know it's been a minute, but you guys have probably seen everything on the internet that I've been doing. So
yeah, been a little busy. I can't imagine with what though. I mean, there's, you know, just some
right
stuff
like
going
Tokyo
on.
Stuff. That then all of a sudden the biggest pump fake with that, right? And then all of a sudden the NBA draft. You know, so it was fun.
It was very well. Listen, the Tokyo pump fake. Not the coolest thing. None of us were very
not
thrilled
that part,
about that.
No, that one, no, they have all, they're getting all the smoke on that.
Yes. Oh, listen, and we will get to that smoke eventually here because they deserve it so much. But did want to celebrate the cool stuff as we get set for NBA free agency getting started this afternoon. The NBA draft was last Thursday, and your girl was out there on ABC letting everybody know what was going on with these young draft picks. Janae, I just need to know, because I heard from a reliable source that when introducing yourself to the crew for the NBA draft, you said I was the only number one overall draft pick in this room. Can you confirm or deny that?
No, that is fake news. Carly, that had to be her.
Yes.
But her team. Carly is the source of this gossip. I did not say number one pick. I said the only person that has been drafted in this room. Okay? So only person. Jalen Rose was not there. Yet. So, yeah, working the NBA draft was amazing, and it's crazy how quickly we switched to free agency, which we're going to talk about today. But, I mean, I feel very blessed, Junior, because that draft is iconic. And by the way, Houston, baby! We got, like, not only the best players on the court, but also the highlights off the court. Jalen Green with his fit for the ages, and then Josh Christopher, who's a designer as well. Houston, like, after losing James Harden, it feels like, okay, we got our energy. We got our mojo back.
I mean, that's what the draft's supposed to be. Like, it's supposed to be peddling and hope like that. So, Janae, I'm glad that you and Houston have something to get excited about right now, because I was really not feeling great about you having to be sad about, you know, the Rockets losing James Harden or the Texans being the Texans. This is better. This is way better.
Much better.
All right. Well, now that we are back in the Zen place, and now that we are back together here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, let's get to some of what's going on in free agency, because, Janae, while don't believe that it actually begins at 6 o'clock Eastern, like the legal tampering or whatever's gone on beforehand is going to be out there, but we look around there. Chris Paul opted out of his player option. Kawhi Leonard did the same with the Clippers. And then we've got Kyle Lowry here sitting in the wings as a potential trade target. Janae, when you look out at NBA free agency right now, what's the first domino you're looking at here? Who's the most important player to you in all this?
I mean, this is the year of the point guard in free agency. A lot of smaller guards, Lonzo Ball, you know, up for grabs with other teams. But, Junior, I don't know why I keep coming to Toronto and Kyle Lowry as an interesting factor. Because this past season,
oh, there it is. There we go.
Look at my rookie blunder right there. Haven't been on radio for a minute. Got too excited. really?
Wow. Cold-blooded around here. Listen.
Yeah. Y'all, like, don't take no days off. You're not going to try to be nice to me. It's okay. I remember. Kyle Lowry's interesting. This past season, we were really excited about the potential of Kyle Lowry going to the 76ers and being that championship piece, right? You know, from the point guard position. He's from Philly. He went to Villanova. And ever since we had that conversation, I still see him, and of course Chris Paul, as guys you can add, and maybe that can make a great team. Like, oh, they're title favorites. And so Kyle Lowry is interesting me, like, to see. Maybe, you know, we've been hearing Miami potentially. I was like, what? Like, this is interesting. A lot of chip on your shoulder guys. And also working the NBA draft, Junior, that's where it got interesting with Toronto. We all thought that Jalen Suggs out of Gonzaga, man, sensational point guard who hit the most iconic, you know, game-winning shot in the Final Four versus UCLA in overtime. That, like, oh, you're not sure about what Kyle Lowry is going to do? You should probably get Jalen Suggs, who's another tough, you know, point guard. Instead, they go Scotty Barnes out of Florida State.
Yep.
And so I've been, like, intrigued by what's going on with Toronto, but more so Kyle Lowry, because people see high value in him, not in the way that we maybe celebrate a Chris Paul or just any other, you know, young guys like Lonzo Ball, but there's something about Kyle Lowry that has made him a fan favorite and also a proven winner and helps a contender. And so I'm excited to see what happens there.
Yeah, Chinee, you're not alone. Bobby Marks, our ESPN NBA front office insider, said he actually controls a lot of what might happen next for this year of the point guard that you described.
You look at the teams that need a point guard, either it be Miami, New Orleans, I guess we could put Dallas in that mix, certainly New York. His decision basically dictates what the other teams do. And if the likelihood of if Lowry does go to a team like Miami, now what happens with, you know, Lonzo Ball in New Orleans or Spencer Dinwiddie in Brooklyn? I think Mike Conley and Chris Paul will go back to their respective homes. But Lowry is the big domino to fall. And I think once that happens, it basically will just open up, will open up the floodgates as far as for some of these teams to go out and spend.
And Chinee, you mentioned Kyle Lowry. We saw the reporting from Adrian Wojnarowski about the potential with him in the Heat there, a sign and trade involving Goran Dragic and potentially Precious Achiuwa after they picked up Goran Dragic's $19 million player option. And I understand and believe what you're saying about Kyle Lowry. Seems like an unbelievably great locker room presence in so many ways. But I can't help but look at the Miami Heat relative to what they thought they were going to get this offseason and say, like, if you're a Heat fan looking at this and Kyle Lowry is what you net in the summer that was supposed to be about going all in on Giannis years ago when they were setting this up, one that could have involved Kawhi Leonard potentially before this injury, like, Kyle Lowry does not make them a top three team in the East. Like, it might have you vying for something with Philadelphia, but Chinee, it's not like that's going to be the move that all of a sudden gets them competing with Brooklyn and Milwaukee.
It's not, but I do think that there is some kind of NBA level of respect being attributed to Kyle Lowry. Like Bobby Marks just said, you know, he is the one that is going to dictate what happens to the other teams. And so that's the fascinating part. A lot of times we think of, you know, the huge names in free agency, like you said, potentially Giannis coming out and all of a sudden, like, can you imagine if Giannis was a free agent right now? Like, what world we'd be living in? It would be nuts. But instead, he's an NBA champion. Like, and I love that you know, plan B alternate, you know, universe that we're actually now calling real life. Because it feels like, Junior, we've oscillated so much with how stars have been playing in the NBA. I know a lot of people like to point at, you know, LeBron James leaving Cleveland, going to Miami, aggregating those stars, the Warriors aggregating, you know, getting KD in both places, getting championships. And that now leads us to Brooklyn, where there's that huge pitch recruit effort. Like, it felt like, okay, now the NBA is just going to get, like, you know, who are friends with, you know, who's friends with each other, who wants to play with each other. And if you can get as many of those guys together as possible, all right, you have a chance at a championship. I love that Giannis reset that notion this past season, that you can have a young, homegrown superstar and win an NBA championship. And so now, yeah, maybe Kyle Lowry does not look as big relative to the past 12 years that we've been existing, but maybe he can help a team. And I think that's the respect that a lot of teams are paying him due. And then after that, I'm excited to see where everyone else goes.
Yeah, and I think after that is going to be interesting because speaking of people staying with the team that got him there, I think we could see that with Chris Paul and the Suns, who built so much last year based in large part on his veteran presence. I think Kawhi Leonard ends up back with the Clippers, although we can never really know for what or why because
that was my computer. Kawhi Did you Leonard. Hear that?
Was that? Well, I heard we had sirens going on in the background. We had the computer go on there. Chinee, you brought it. You've brought the heat this first segment back here.
Yeah, you know, I think everyone's excited from everyone on the street to my computer, my MacBook. So, yeah, it's everyone's getting live.
Everyone's getting live. We got.
Oh, that's it. That's the energy I've been looking for. Is that Cliff? Who's working today?
No, we got Chris. We still got Philly blood in the booth right here.
But
Chris A. right here ready to rock. When we'll get to some of his pain because I think that siren before all the booing might have been Chris lashing out. Because coming up next, as we look at the situation that's unfolding in Indianapolis, we'll tell you why it has a direct effect on the already limited happiness of the people in Philadelphia. We'll do that next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. That song and also Chinee in the last segment here. It is Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinne Agumake with us here. We'll talk to Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, in about 10 minutes here about something she's got going on during the NFL preseason. And Chinne, as we get into this conversation about Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts that
I'm
we
so
got
sorry,
going on.
Y'all. Philly, and I feel so bad. How do you feel, Junior?
Oh, man. Well, Chinne, I mean, we operate everything around this show. As we've said time and time again, we have got more Philadelphia football fans per capita, Philadelphia sports fans in the ESPN radio department than any department at ESPN. So we operate from an inherently Philadelphia perspective. And it's hard not to think of them first, Chinne. Like, you got a day where Devonta Smith's got a knee sprain, their first-round wide receiver pick out of Alabama. Ugh. That's going to keep him out for a couple of weeks here, which, you know, everyone's trying to convince us is no big deal, but everyone in Philadelphia probably feels cursed.
Freaking out. Week to week, right?
Yes, week to week, and so he should be back soon. Like, this seems one of those things. He was apparently going low for a pass from Jalen Hurts, tried to lay out for it, the results happened, but we think we're going to be able to move out from that. But, Chinne, it's just compounded because now this news with Carson Wentz, who is supposed to, according to ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, have surgery on an injured left foot this afternoon that will put him out anywhere between 5 to 12 weeks.
Okay, what's the timeline now?
Well, the timeline's interesting. The first couple of weeks after this surgery is just rest. He won't do anything. And from there, Frank Reich, their coach, pointed out that this is an injury you need to be pain-free to come back from. Like, this can be about, all right, once you're healthy and recovered from this, what your pain tolerance is getting back out there. And so, Chinne, they've got some decisions to make, but those decisions are also going to directly affect Philadelphia because... Mm-hmm. The Eagles traded Carson Wentz for a conditional second-round pick that would become a first-round pick if Carson Wentz played 75% of snaps with the Colts or 70% and made the playoffs with the Indianapolis Colts.
I don't think we're getting to 70, do you?
Well, no, because if he misses 12 weeks, let's say it's the max part of this window, that would be 7 weeks into the regular season for this team. So that would be completely out of the realm. So, Chinne, there would be the chance that the Philadelphia Eagles, who... Again, probably thought they were going to be able to get more for Carson Wentz when this all started, despite the fact that he was very publicly disgruntled in a way that I don't really understand how you could have expected more from that, might lose on the one bit of value, the one parting gift they thought they were going to get from Carson.
Oh, I mean, is this a bad John? A really bad John?
I think now we have Cliff, our producer, down on the TV side today, but we've got Chris A. here who also runs Philly on this. So, Chris, I'm going to have you as the proxy for Philadelphia right now. Is this a bad John, a super bad John, or a tremendously bad John?
I just think it's a bad John. It's still a second-round pick if he doesn't play.
Honestly, Chris, thank you for that, because that's the one thing I've been a little bit shocked by is it's still a two for a guy that didn't want to be there in Carson Wentz. Like, he had no desire to continue to go, and it had gotten publicly ugly, like in a way that a lot of these other quarterback situations this offseason had not. Now, Chinne, this is where it becomes interesting, because 5 to 12 weeks is a big swing of time. And so what the Colts do at the quarterback spot before then becomes interesting. And one of the options on the table, Chinne, has been Nick Foles, who is in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz, who we know Nick Foles was part of the reason that Carson Wentz wanted to get out of there so bad. So, Chinne, from a locker room standpoint, like, we talked to Mike Wells, our ESPN Colts reporter, earlier, and he said he's not closing the door on Nick Foles as a football option here. But from a locker room standpoint, can you do that to the guy in Carson Wentz you just brought here?
Yeah, probably not. This situation to me just seems like one of those you know how, like, as an athlete, you talked about, like, you know, overall athlete perspective and, like, our mindset and stuff. I feel for Carson right now. Myself, I've dealt with injuries, and it's not easy to get back, but you go back thinking, all right, this is going to be here, this is going to be the time. And look at, like, myself this season, it's really stunk. I played a couple of games, and then had to be out for an extended amount of time. And no matter who is taking your position, it doesn't feel good because you're always watching like, oh, I can do more. But I do think when you have injuries compounded, that's like the worst situation, because it's like, when will I ever get to feel like I can even be a portion of myself back? And he said it's an okay John because it's like second round pick versus, well, this is just really bad for me. Like, just no one is winning in this scenario. Philly at least has turned the page, but, like, I really do feel for Carson because he deserves a fair shake at proving himself back in the league.
Yeah, listen, I would have liked to have seen this for Carson Wentz to get a shot. I want to see everyone get a chance to succeed, not just because it would make our colleague Dan Orlovsky happy. I do appreciate thirsty Nick Foles out here talking to the media today, because Andrew Siciliano tweeted this quote from Nick Foles. Listen, Frank Reich is one of my favorite, if not favorite, coaches of all time.
Oh, there you
I
go.
Haven't had any talks with them. I'm a Chicago Bear right now, but he knows me. And Janae, he even threw in there, the version right now is the version of me that is much better than the one played in the Super Bowl.
Oh, whoa.
My man is lusting.
That is like shooting your shot. That is not like the normal shoot your shot, like swipe right. That's like all the way in there. Like, I'm going to make sure my intentions are known here. Okay.
Listen, he is trying to manifest as best he can. And I don't blame him if you're Nick Foles. You're third on the depth chart behind Andy Dalton and Justin Fields now, who, by the way,
Chicago.
Justin Fields, according to our Lewis Riddick, our ESPN NFL insider, sounds like he is crushing it in Bears camp.
Do that to me, Junior. Don't even do that to me, because I blame all you college football people. I love you, and you brought so much love and joy to my heart by bringing football into my life. But all you college football people got me mad because Justin Fields slipped down the board, and then all of a sudden we're surprised that he's crushing it?
I'm not surprised. I had Justin Fields as my number two quarterback. I would have taken him if I was the Jets, but I don't get to make those decisions. So I am rooting for Justin Fields to go out here and ball in everyone's grill.
But I was like, oh my gosh, he's balling, he's cursing. I'm like, then what? What were you doing over there?
It's Janae, it is a confusing league. But
did I you people, y'all?
You did. You peopled college football ESPN media, I think. So
I love y'all. I love y'all. I'm just saying, y'all just got me tight.
Your complaint should be with NFL draft Twitter, not us college football people.
Which is a different section. Yes. Chris, that's a great point. Different section of the football population.
I retract
population.
My statement, and I'm you peopling, the NFL draft Twitter. Okay?
There we go. They're a bunch of weirdos. That much we can all agree on. Now, Chenangle Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. By the way, Chenae, while you were gone and we talked to Mike Wells about this entire situation with Andrew Luck, I found out that apparently I'm not good enough for him. Listen to this.
Definitely. Hey, where's Chenae at?
Listen, we're still waiting for her to get back here. She got basketball practice. She was covering the draft, Mike. Like, she's big time, man. She comes over here whenever she can get back and get right.
Man, tell Chenae stop being so bougie and let's roll now.
I'm trying to tell her, man, it's training camp time. Like, it's two-a-day season here, so we're going to get her back here for the next time that you're on with us. All right, Mike?
All right. Hey, y'all be good, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Well, I'm not even that mad about it because I am classy, bougie, ratchet. Okay, so he's just using one of my words.
It's a fair point. He gets one out of three, which is decent grade. We grade on a curve around here at Chenangle
Jr.
Well, you
grade on a curve, but I went to Stanford, so.
Wow. All right, listen. I didn't have much to go in my college career. I did have that academic All-American plaque that is somewhere
buried in my
house.
You did. You're right. You're right. That is true.
Hold on to that for dear life. Coming up next, though, speaking of the Colts, what's the outlook on Jacob Eason, who's their fourth-round draft pick from a year ago, that's sitting there right now, who Frank Reich said is your team? And if it's not Nick Foles, who is the veteran backup quarterback that the Colts should actually be shooting their shot with? We'll tell you that when we come back after this word from 5-Hour Energy. Now, guys, did you hit that productivity wall after a big lunch today? This seems like it is directly targeted at me, so we'll keep going with this. Well, you can let 5-Hour Energy Shots help you leap over that wall instead of crashing into it. With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect little pick-me-up. And it's available in delicious flavors like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. All you got to do, go to 5hourenergy.com today and use promo code GOLIC to receive 10% off your order. That's the number 5hourenergy.com, promo code GOLIC for 10% off. This offer cannot be used with other promotions, and the code is not applicable on subscription orders. What does Indy do next now that Carson Wentz is going to be out 5 to 12 weeks? Coming up here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And with all this news out of the NFL, Carson Wentz going to be out 5 to 12 weeks with a foot injury that required surgery today, some Eagles injury news and ramifications to talk about here. All this and some good news personally for our friend and ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes, who joins us now here on the Goodyear Hotline. Because, Mina, I also saw that in the Ramley that you're a part of here on some Rams preseason games this year, you, Andrew Siciliano, and Aqib Talib going to be in the preseason booth this year here. How are we feeling about this one? Are you going big chain for the first game?
You know, maybe not big chain, but I'm just honored to be sharing the booth with a Rams legend, a guy I love listening to on the call. Not just Andrew Siciliano, who fits the bill, but also Aqib Talib. I cannot wait. And I would remind folks, you say, you know, preseason, you got to watch. It's not the starters. Well, 2019 preseason, which Andrew and I called with Nate Burleson, is where the legend of John Wolford was born. John Wolford, who would then go on to get the Rams into the playoffs. So you never know who might be tomorrow's stars in the preseason.
Wow. All right. There's a John Wolford hive. Stand up. There's your tease for the Rams preseason here. So we'll be dialed into that. But Mina, if we're going to talk backup quarterbacks in your wheelhouse that could potentially affect the upcoming NFL season, the Colts story today seems like a perfect place to start. Carson Wentz out potentially 5 to 12 weeks. And Frank Reich tells backup quarterback 2024 round pick Jacob Eason out of Washington, it's your team right now. Mina, you watched him at Washington. You're a Huskies fan. And now you see this situation here. How likely do you think it is that Jacob Eason is actually the one they turn this over to while they wait to see what happens with Carson?
Well, I think it really depends on how long they expect Wentz to be out. If it's 1 or maybe 2 weeks, I think there'd be more comfortability there in letting Eason take the reins of the offense than if it was more than that, where, you know, you're facing greater risk of losing a lot of games, very difficult in front of the schedule, and sort of losing the season before Wentz can even come back. As far as Eason goes, for those who haven't seen him play, kid's got a cannon, first and foremost, just an incredibly powerful arm, reasonably athletic, but there is a reason he was taken in the fourth round, which is, you know, he's a bit of a developmental prospect. Wasn't ready to start in the NFL, struggled a little bit with processing, running the offense, pretty simple offense in Washington, but getting to his second, third read, throwing the ball with touch and anticipation and a short intermediate parts of the field. So, to put him in this, in a game against, you got like Seattle, Baltimore, Miami early on, it's a pretty tall ask. So if I'm Indianapolis, I would be heavily considering trading for a veteran quarterback like Marcus Mariota. But again, it all depends on when they expect Wentz to come back.
You know, we're talking to Mina Kimes, our own ESPN NFL analyst, when she drops a Seattle mention in there right here on ESPN Radio. Shanae Golic Jr. Hey, Mina, on the other side of the spectrum, how worried should Philly be considering that their pick is tied to Carson's health? And then you speak of health, and then Devontae Smith is out, for the week with a knee sprain and, you know, being evaluated week to week. How worried should Philly be in all of this?
Yeah, neither is good for Philly. I'll say that. It sounds like the Devontae Smith injury isn't too serious, but they need it to not be serious. You know, it's not like an offense where you got a rookie, I don't know, even like a Ja'Marr Chase with Cincinnati, where, yes, of course, they want him to contribute from the jump, but they've also got a lot of really good, talented receivers there between T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, and there's some experience. In Philadelphia, Devontae Smith is already the number one wide receiver, and he has to be. This is, of course, a team that has struggled to find production at that position now for a few years. And there's a dependence on him starting that might not exist for other teams. And, of course, as you mentioned, they do need that Wentz pick or want it to be a first rounder, and it is contingent on his playing time. But that was something they were perfectly aware of being a risk given his injury history when they made the trade.
Mina, if we're going to stick with backup quarterbacks, injury news, and things that have happened, Minnesota's got themselves in an interesting situation. Three quarterbacks on the COVID-19 list, including their starter, Kirk Cousins. They just signed, oh my God, Case Cookus to be their quarterback for the time being now, Mina. But we heard a frustrated Mike Zimmer. I mean, when do you think there's a tipping point for this NFL season when we really start to see this fray some locker rooms?
You know, it's hard because at one point, you know, you see these examples of players like, you know, Kirk Cousins, I guess, is out, and he definitely is out, or players like, I don't know, Nick Bosa, who said he was still looking into the vaccine the other day. But then you see the numbers and you realize, well, they're still really the minority. They just happen to be a vocal minority. But the way this virus works, all it takes is a minority to disrupt a team, especially in the case of quarterbacks. Like, for example, in Minnesota, Kirk Cousins and his backup come on. They'll probably be back by the time the season starts. But, you know, these are precious days in an offense, especially in case of Minnesota, where you got a new coordinator and you can't afford to lose them to something like this. And so it's not surprising me to hear that Mike Zimmer's frustrated, not only on a personal level and a societal level, but on a pure football level. Teams that lose players, especially key players, who are out because of exposure and especially out for an extended period of time because they're unvaccinated, that's sacrificing a competitive edge. And it's something I think we're going to continue to see pop up amongst teams where those players are not choosing to get the vaccine.
Yeah, I'd be very interested as we get closer to about a week into training camp if guys see the realities of some of the limitations and start to make different choices as a result of that. You guys download the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcasts and check her out on NFL Live as well as in the Rams preseason booth coming up here soon. Mina, we appreciate you, friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mina.
Bye.
Mina Kimes joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, coming up next, though, we will go from the NFL to Tokyo and talk to some good old-fashioned American gold here next on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Aguimake. And we've all been watching the Olympics going on. We got news. We'll get to Simone Biles making her return to U.S. gymnastics to finish off this Olympics. Some of what we saw from U.S. soccer. But we did have gold medals handed out for the U.S. Our 3-on-3 women's basketball team brought home the gold member at Tokyo. Stephanie Dolson, Alicia Gray, Kelsey Plum, Jackie Young took an early lead against the Russian Olympic Committee and then held it for an 18-15 victory for gold. And Alicia Gray, Dallas Wings guard and gold medalist, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline right now. First and foremost, Alicia, congratulations.
Thank you.
And so you go over here for the Olympics in Tokyo. We know there's a massive time difference. It's during a pandemic, so there's all these restrictions. What was the biggest adjustment for you getting over there and getting acclimated to the village?
Well, we didn't stay in the village. We actually stayed in a hotel, so we kind of had it ease on that part. But I had to say the biggest adjustment was adjusting to the humidity outside. It was so hot.
Yeah. Hey, Alicia, what's up, girl? Can't wait to see you on the court in a little bit. I hope you get some rest, first and foremost, because you deserve some time off. But, you know, I competed on that 3-on-3 World Championship team a while ago, and it's such a different game. Can you sort of explain to people how 3-on-3 is so much different than what we expect when we just watch traditional 5-on-5?
Oh, well, it's only a 10-minute game. Can only sub on dead balls. And no coach. So the coach is not allowed to coach during the game. So you got to be in tune with your teammates, listen to what your teammates gotta say. And also the aggressiveness of the game as well. I mean, you don't get as many foul calls in 3-on-3 like you do in 5-on-5.
Very true. And you know how it is overseas. When you play overseas, you don't get many foul calls, especially coming from the States. But you mentioned your coach, Kara Lawson. Everyone knows she's a head coach at Duke. Previously spent some time with the Boston Celtics, and then obviously a WNBA player as well, well-respected throughout our league and just the game, period. How was she with handling not being able to be as involved as she normally is?
I mean, she was real chill. I mean, even though she wasn't allowed to coach in the game, during the game we kind of, like, cut our eyes to her, and she would, like, absolutely, like, follow the rules, didn't make eye contact with her or anything. So, I mean, she follow the rules to a T. So it's like, if you want any pointers, you just had to rely on your teammates. Because, I mean, one thing about it, she followed the rules. But, I mean, she also taught us the 3-on-3 game as well. Because, I mean, we're all new to it, first time playing it. So, I mean, hats off to her for helping us acclimate to the 3-on-3 game.
And acclimate well, as we're talking to gold medalist Alicia Gray on the Goodyear Hotline, part of that 3-on-3 women's team that took home the gold medal. You guys played 9 games and only lost one, so you acclimated well. What do you think allowed you guys to have so much success coming together this quickly?
I'll just say our talent. I mean, we all meshed together well. I mean, we knew the strengths of each other. We knew what plays to call for each other to set people up to score. But overall, I'll just say the team chemistry and the respect we have for one another when somebody had to say something or seen an adjustment we had to make.
And by the way, the one game that they did drop virtually didn't matter. I think they had already like clinched their seating. So like, I was like, oh, they're resting. They're going to be all right. But Alicia, when you look back on this experience, you are now a USA basketball gold medalist. What do you take away the most from your time in Tokyo? I know it's been a long build up to that moment in that competition, which a lot of countries have been playing a little bit more than, you know, the us in the US, because like that team just came together the last few weeks where you left a little bit early from the WNBA season to train for that. But what do you take away from that new experience at the Olympics?
My respect is to everybody that plays 3x3 year round. That game is no joke. Just the physicality of it, like year round, like I just don't see how people do it. But I mean, overall, it was a fun experience. My first time experience 3x3 just on that platform and on the Olympics as well, being a first time Olympian and being able to come away with the gold medal. I mean, overall, it's just a great experience. But hats off to people that play year round.
And what about your favorite part about being in Tokyo?
I mean, due to COVID, we was kind of like on lockdown. So, I mean, I'll say the ride from the hotel to the venue was the cool part, because we got to like see stuff as we rolled in the van to the venue. So that was pretty cool. So I got to see like the Olympic rings and all that stuff.
Junior, all business is basically what she's saying.
It's yeah,
all
no, it's, it sounds like that's kind of what it was. We understand the reasons for all of that. But Alicia, I am curious, in addition to getting to see the rings, you just mentioned how different the game is, the physicality, the conditioning of all that. What does that do? How do you adjust, or how does it affect your game coming back for the remainder of the WNBA season?
I don't think it affects it in a way. I think the only big adjustment is getting acclimated back to WNBA ball, because 3x3 ball is the size of a women's basketball, but the weight of a men's. Basketball, so I think that would be like the biggest adjustment, just getting acclimated back to the size of the basketball. But you also get more breaks in 5-on-5, so I'm looking forward to that.
A little
Alicia,
more.
At least you're getting a break. Rest. Please tell me you're getting a break. Are you getting a few days to relax a little bit?
Oh yeah, I've been resting since I got back.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
Oh, good.
There we go. Well-earned rest for the gold medalist, Alicia Gray, as she gets set for the rest of the WNBA season with the Dallas Wings. Alicia, congrats. We're glad you got back safe. Thank you for representing our country so well, and good luck with the rest
Great
of your season.
Great to see you, girl, and see you soon.
Thank you. Good to see you, too. Okay. See you.
Awesome stuff from Alicia Gray, 3-on-3 women's Olympic gold medalist, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Janae, you mentioned that you played in Greece for a world championship earlier in your career and said playing outdoors, the speed of the game, it's all just like a crazy, it's just almost a completely different game in some ways.
Look, it is no joke, okay? She is not lying. You go out there and it's go, 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 go. For the guards, you're playing one-on-one and spotting up. And the cool thing is if you miss it, you just look for your guard on the outlet, get it behind the three, and then you can attack. So you want to always catch people slipping, which means you're always on the move. So, I mean, it is not for the week. And she said, hey, I'm glad to be back with the Wings. I got my medal. And now let me get back to this 5-on-5 where I have a little bit more help.
I did think it was hilarious. She mentioned the humidity, and you mentioned you guys played outside when you did that, right? Like, normally we of the grass field sports kind of look at you guys and your controlled temperatures some kind of way, but you said you were out there in the elements.
I didn't realize I could really, really get a tan until I played 3-on-3. Let me just tell you that, okay? Outside in the middle of summer in Greece, in Athens, and it was burning. And we played and we hooped, and we had some pictures, but, like, your girl was looking kind of rough. But, hey, she had a gold medal around herself, so it was worth it, baby. It was worth it. It was probably one of the best experiences of my life, that competition. And it was the cusp of what was coming, and that's now it's certified in the Olympics. So cool. Cool to be a part of history.
And I say, nice to see you get to build the blocks that now get us to the point where we've got a 3-on-3 women's team winning the gold medal. Again, Team USA, Stephanie Dolson, Alicia Gray, Kelsey Plum, and Jackie Young beat the Russian Olympic Committee and took home gold in that. So awesome to catch up with Alicia. Coming up next, though, we'll catch up with what's going on in NBA free agency as we get close to time for this to actually start in a way no one has already tampered with. Next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.